thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've already done this morning. And Lord, I just ask for your anointing to fall in this room. So that what I share comes directly from your heart. And you just bless us. And you, Holy Spirit, are the one who can bring everything into truth. So I thank you, Lord, what you've shared with me. And as I try and communicate this, Father God, I pray in Holy Spirit you come. And you cement what needs to be cemented in our hearts. And that which is not of you will just fall by the wayside. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Right. I've recently been reading a book by a chap called Dan McCollum. You may remember that a few years ago we watched something called Entrainment. He's been a worship leader, pastor of a church for probably 40, 50 years, and he's very closely connected to Bethel Church. But it was out of this book that I was reading and some of the Psalms that I suddenly had this burning in me to actually in my own life think about who am I? What's in a name? The book is actually called, hang on, I get this right, because I often get this wrong. The book is called The Power in a Name. And what he's trying to communicate is we have heavenly names. What the Bible tells us who we are. Now, we are a child of God. You know, we're ambassadors, we're inheritors. You know, all of that rich wealth that the Bible tells us who we are. But we also have prophetic words that people have spoken. Either God has spoken directly into our lives, or somebody else has spoken a prophetic word into our lives. So what he's trying to do is to encourage us to actually even think about your own name. And I know that was given by your parents, but I've started to unpack my full name and what that means from heaven to earth, not just on a surface level, and I've gone way off beam already, but it's important, I think, because what I want to try and convey this morning is the wealth, the richness, the depth of what is truly in us that can fight off things, that can keep things at bay, rather than going into war with the enemy. Because if you're going into war with the enemy, you need to know that you're called to do that. If you're called up into the second heaven to fight what's going on there, join with the angels, then that's okay. But you've got to know that you know that you know that you're definitely called into that sphere and that realm to fight that. If you don't, then you can get injured. And it's tough. And you'll get tired, weary, disenchanted, all those things. So only if you know that you're called to fight in that realm, in that second heaven, do that. But as we are and who we are, that can be the place of displacement. That's the word that I got from reading this book recently, is displacement. That who we are, who God says we are, what the prophetic word says we are, we truly believe that. We can use that. Trust on that, stand on that. That's the firm foundation. It's quite interesting that over the last few weeks we've had Mike talking about building. Jen was talking about building as well, building from an apostolic point of view. And Tracy also was talking about the Spitfire that's flying over to open right now. Oh, that gets you, that sound. But Tracy the other week was talking about David and his time with God. And he was building something deep and strong in himself, a foundation. Again, Mike, you were talking about foundation a few weeks back. But that struck me, that word building, that we have this strong foundation, that building deep within us, that when we truly stand on that, that rock, that strength, that power, that foundation, that should be enough to dispel the attack of the enemy. That he can't come near us, he can't affect us, because we truly believe that. And that is the displacement. So from a natural point of view, from a typical point of view as a Christian, I think this displacement is something which will literally do that. It will displace the enemy, or the enemy has no chance. It's a bit like the Israel's dome, or the strong tower that we run into, and we're building the Nehemiah walls. You know, there's so much in scripture about how we're building strength around us to stop the enemy from infiltrating our life. And the phrase that we, Jen mentioned it the other week, but this tag phrase that we've had for this, the church, when we looked at something through the COVID couple of years, we did this course with Paul Mamre. And what he was trying to do is say, what are you truly about? What are you truly about as individuals? What are we truly about as a church? And we came up with this phrase of building a supernatural family, living presence-fueled lives, bringing the reality of Jesus to the world around us. So there's three elements of it. There's building, there's living, and there's bringing. Building that supernatural family. So the whole encouragement that I think we have about this church, this house, is that we are supernatural. God is supernatural. Well, he's naturally supernatural. You've probably heard that teaching. But that is our bent, the supernatural. Just as you prayed, Sue, about, you know, miracles, signs, wonders. We want to see more of that. Something that's beyond our own skill set that we will see happen in our lifetime. That we will see that goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, as it says in Psalm 27. We will see that. So that's just building that and encouraging each one of us that we're part of a supernatural family with God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, but as a family together to share encouragement through testimony that builds faith, that builds strength, that builds that pressure, if you like, a good pressure, not a bad pressure, but a good pressure within our life that will be like a defense mechanism against the arrows of the enemy. So, living presence-fueled lives. We cannot do this without being constantly filled up by the Holy Spirit. And we've spoken about this many, many times, how we can do that through reading the Word, worshiping, coming together, sharing testimonies. But living that presence-fueled life constantly, not just once a month on a Friday at the well at our house. There's more to it than that. Being constantly filled up when you're out walking your dog or just walking along the river, acknowledging the beauty that is around us. So that's living a presence-fueled life, because we need that. And out of the overflow, we can bring the reality of Jesus to the world around us. So that was the Strathvice. And then I was speaking to God about all of this, about my own name, and I started to look at Peter Hamilton Smart. I know that. You didn't know that, did you? Middle name Hamilton, my Scottish roots. Sounds quite posh, doesn't it? Yeah. Peter, yeah. Hamilton Python Smart. But outside of all of that and what I was experiencing God within me, it made me think about this. Who am I? Who am I truly? Do I truly believe what the Word says about me? Do I truly believe what the prophetic words say about me? And you can go all sorts of things. So I said to the Lord, you know, for me, I learn by probably by doing or by looking at something rather than reading something and all absorbing something. I know we're all different, but I had this immediate picture come into my mind of a weather system. Now, Tony, you will remember probably when we went to that Oast Theatre production of, what's it called? It was the...
Oh, I know, yeah.
It was the World War II...
The weather forecast one.
It was the weather forecast one. The Oast Theatre, probably a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Flight Path.
Oh, yeah.
Flight Path?
Yeah.
And Tony was in there. I could go off on a complete tangent here. But it's basically saying, you know, the weather just fell just right for what they needed to do. And I was trying to explain to Tony the difference between high pressure, low pressure, and all that. So you can see where I'm sort of going. I'm talking about the pressure that's within us that's greater than the pressure that comes from around us. There's lots of stuff happening around us which is causing pressure on our mind, our will and emotion. Now, if we give in to that pressure, that can start to take over. But if we've built up this pressure within us of, you know, the Word, what does the Word say about us? What are the testimonies that we've experienced, or other people's testimonies, or the prophetic Word causing that internal pressure to be greater than the pressure around us. So going back to the flight part, Tony was saying about the weather systems. And as a teenager, I won a prize at school. I can't tell you what the prize was for, but it was probably for something sporting, because academically, I was just not on that page. I was more on, let me go and play football. Let me go and play cricket. I want to be outside playing sport. But I went to a grammar school that was, you know, pretty hard on academics. So I did all right. But I remember winning this prize, and you could spend this money, prize money, to go and buy a book. And I went along and I bought this book on weather. And I can't really remember why I was so interested in the weather, but I was, and I have been ever since. But I've still got this book in the loft, and it really talks about cloud formations and what those cloud formations mean as regards to the weather. But it just made me think pictorially how to convey this message, which may stay in your mind after we leave this morning, but about high pressure and low pressure. I'm just going to explain it to you. I actually bought a pen to draw it. So, I hope this works out.
I just wiped it, Mark.
Yes, essentially, right, okay. Excuse the crude drawing. Very good. Thank you. That's a very crude drawing. Marilyn, I know. I just wanted to say for Marilyn, is this a dry white marker? This is sensitive. Marilyn, on the board here, I've put the UK, okay? And on the left of it, I'm going to draw something like a circle. And on the right of it, I'm going to draw a circle. On the right, oh, that's way too. Hang on a minute. Just to the right of it, there's a circle with an H in it, letter H, and L on the left. So there's a low pressure and a high pressure. Everyone's going, what on earth are you talking about? But in two pressure systems, you get isobars that go round it. Okay? So you've got that, and you've got this, you've got this. This is in the northern hemisphere, by the way. It's different from the southern hemisphere. But on the right here, the high pressure is a cyclone. You still with me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the left is an anticyclone. Low pressure. So on an anticyclone, you've got winds which go anti-clockwise, okay? Around the system. So if you think of winds, but on a high pressure, you've got, it's a cyclone where you've got winds that go clockwise, okay? So you've got all this movement coming up here. Interestingly enough, currently, we sit under a high pressure over the UK, hence the nice weather we're having. This is, the circulation of the air is going like this. It's picking up warm air from down in southern Europe, Africa, and it's bringing warm air up, high pressure. The low pressure, winds go that way. This would normally be the prevailing winds. I feel like a weatherman.
In fact,
I actually, when I was at leaving school, I thought about becoming a meteorologist, believe it or not. So you've got winds that are doing that. Okay, they're going anti-clockwise. But all that's happening is it's bringing this warm air up from Europe. That's why we're experiencing this hot air. So when we've got this high pressure here, you can call it a blocking pattern, so it will stop the lows coming and affecting Britain. Because this high pressure is so dominant, these low pressures will have to go that way or that way. Because this is so dominant. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Thank you very much.
Michael.
Thank you, Michael Fish. actually, you look like Michael Fish. That aside, I mean, you talk about Michael Fish, and you're saying Michael Fish in this book is just, you could say it's maybe it's a bit out there, but the power of a name. He talks about word association with people's names. And suddenly, you know, you can look at somebody and you think of somebody else. You know, I mean, you could say, oh, I don't know, you might look like an actor or an actress. But that means something, and be aware of what the Holy Spirit is suddenly saying to you about that. Why have I thought about that person in that person context? It's for me, it's just living that presence-filled life, being aware of the stuff that's going on around us for a specific purpose. It may be just for us, but it may be for the world around us, for somebody around us. So I had to write this bit down, going back to the high pressure and low pressure. The high pressure is an anticyclone. The winds go... high pressure. High pressure is a cyclone. And you've got a clockwise air circulation. And according to Google and the Met Office, that is air descending.
Yes.
High pressure, that's air coming down to Earth. It made me think of heading to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So that high pressure is good. It reduces cloud formation, lighter winds, more settled conditions. Exactly what we're experiencing right now. Now, low pressure is completely different. It's an anti-clockwise air direction. Air ascending, you get clouds, you get rain, you get wind. Basically, and that's called a depression. So if you take that sort of analogy, that a low pressure is a depression, we don't want depression, do we?
No.
We want high pressure. We want to be living under that constantly. So what could a low pressure be? What are those things that are affecting us as an individual? It starts inside out. Now, if we as a group of people were so sure about the word of God over us, or the prophetic word or testimonies, that high pressure develops such a strength, starting with us internally, but internally as a group of people. But it could be things like causing low pressure in your life. If that is the low pressure being created in your life, this high pressure is weakening. So that starts to move away. What starts to take the UK, that's our land, that's our heart. If that is not being developed, trusted, believed upon, this can start to invade the low pressure. Jealousy, doubt, shame, fear, unbelief, unforgiveness, discouragement, all those sorts of things is a low pressure coming to affect our land. But high pressure, you've got the word, you've got biblical identity statements, you've got prophetic words, testimonies, worship. Jen talking about Acts 16 the other week, about Paul and Silas. I mean, they're in this situation you could call a low pressure situation, where the world is crashing in on, they are prisoners, but what do? They worship. They're creating a high pressure within them that will dispel the low pressure that's coming against them. Declarations. They've got some amazing declarations. Mike spoke a few weeks back about from Matthew 16, was it, about standing on the rock.
Yeah.
But basically the foundation, we all know that scripture very, very well. And Jesus actually says to Peter, yeah, who do you say I am? He says, well, you're the Christ. And Jesus says, yeah, on that truth, or what you've just said, that is what I'm going to build my church on. That one truth, that Jesus, you're my Messiah. And so from this perspective, using this analogy, that's building that high pressure, that spoken word, that on this rock I'm going to stand, on this truth that you are the Messiah. In every situation, I'm not going to come into unbelief or doubt, which just allows that high pressure to drift a bit, and that low pressure to come in and take over. So, displacement, creating that high pressure deep within us that will just stop these low pressures coming in and affecting our land. I think it's fine. Psalm 42. In the Passion Translation, To be honest, I just Googled this, and I just it came. Some of the words I was thinking about, I Googled, and it came up Psalm 42. So I looked at the Passion Translation, and the headline here is "A Cry for Revival." I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. Day and night my tears keep falling, and my heart keeps crying for your help, while my enemies mock me over and over, saying, "Where is the God of yours?" And then in italics, "Why doesn't he help you?" That's a low pressure right there. But the answer is in the next verse. So I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front leading the procession of praise. When the great crowd of worshippers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord, you shouted with joy, as we did this morning. You shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air, and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the festival of the Lord. That's just a complete celebration, happy God party, isn't it? Which is creating a high pressure within us that will dispel the enemy's low pressure. Then in verse 5, there's another question. This is, I love David, the way he just wrestles with things, doesn't he? But there's always a but, or nevertheless with David. It's just so good. So then verse 5, so then my soul, why would you be depressed? So the soul, I believe, is the mind, the will, and emotion. It's not your spirit, it's not your flesh or body, it's the soul is your mind, will, and emotion. So then my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink in despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God for your Saviour, for no matter what, I will sing with praise. For living before his face is my saving grace. Remember that from the Passion Translation, how he's defined that. Living before your face is my saving grace. There's another question further on. Why must I suffer the vile oppression of my enemies, these heartless tormentors who are out to kill me? Their wounding words pierce my heart over and over while they say, "Where is the God of yours?" That speaks directly into what Tracy spoke about a few weeks back. If you haven't listened to it, it's on the website, you can listen to it. The answer comes in verse 11 from David. So I say to my soul, he's speaking directly to his mind, will, and emotion. And there's a guy from Bethel called Steve Backlund that says, if you don't talk to yourself, you're crazy. Is it that way around?
Yeah, you're crazy.
If you're crazy, if you don't talk to yourself. Yeah. So in other words, it's a complete flip of what the world thinks about, you know, talking to yourself. And but no, you need to be speaking. God thinks the word over your life, whether that's in worship or reading direct from the word. You're building that high pressure that will displace the low pressures of life. So this is the answer in verse 11. So I say to my soul, don't be discouraged, don't be disturbed, for I know my God will break through for me. For I know my God will break through for me. Then I'll have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again. Yes, living before his face is my saving grace. And you can read in Psalm 43 as well. There's a couple of other questions and answers there, similar to what I've just shared here. So I want to encourage you. Look at Psalm 42, Psalm 43. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, but I think you'll get the same feel from other translations. But basically what David is saying, no, I'm not coming under that low pressure. I'm building more high pressure within me. So, how do we build? How do we build this high pressure? Interestingly, I asked Jen to pick the songs for this morning, and I think, that No Longer Slaves song just brought it home to me. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Yeah.
I am a child of God. Mm-hmm. So maybe, when she actually picked the songs yesterday, I said, yeah, great songs, but it feeds directly into what I want to share about how we create this high pressure in our life, declarations. So I'm going to read these out, and if you would like to respond in faith and obedience about how it's building this high pressure within your heart that will displace the low pressures. I am complete in him.
I am complete in him.
Who is the head over all rule and authority.
Who is the head over all rule and authority.
Of every angelic and earthly power.
Of every angelic and earthly power.
That's Colossians 2:10.
That's Colossians 2:10.
Somehow I knew it'd be for these two guys. What did I know? I am alive with Christ. Ephesians 2:5. I am free from the law of sin and death.
I am free from the law of sin and death.
I am far from oppression.
I am far from oppression.
And I will not live in fear.
And I will not live in fear.
I am born of God. And the evil one does not touch me.
And the evil one does not touch me.
I'm holy.
I'm holy.
And without blame.
And without blame.
Before him in love.
Before him in love.
I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
I have the peace of God.
I have the peace of God.
That surpasses all understanding. This one is about the high pressure and the low pressure. The Spirit of God.
The Spirit of God.
Who is greater than the enemy.
Who is greater than the enemy.
Who is in the world.
Who is in the world.
Lives in me.
Lives in me.
The Spirit of God.
The Spirit of God.
Who is greater than the enemy in the world.
Who is greater than the enemy in the world.
Lives in me.
Lives in me.
Gosh, there's so many of these great ones here.
Oh gosh, there's so many of these great
ones. Okay, I'm just going to pick a few here. In all circumstances, I live by faith.
I live by faith.
In God.
In God.
And extinguish,
extinguish
all the flaming darts
of all the flaming darts.
In all circumstances.
In all circumstances.
I'm living by faith. High pressure.
I'm living by faith.
High pressure. High pressure. High pressure. High pressure. Extinguishing all the flames of the enemy.
Extinguishing all the flames of the enemy.
I am a new creation in Christ.
I am a new creation in Christ.
Close your eyes, put your hands on your heart, and say that once again.
I am a new creation in Christ.
Thank you for these truths. I'm going to go.
Thank you.
I'm just actually reminded of what we've been looking at in a blaze over the last few Tuesday evenings about the Holy Spirit, knowing the Holy Spirit. And for me, it's suddenly brought the Holy Spirit alive to me in that, you know, Jesus paid for it all. But it's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of that truth, because we can't do anything else. We have God dwelling in us, the fullness of God dwelling in us. So that has to come out somehow. But it's some realization for me, may not be for you, but the Holy Spirit is the one that can bring us into all truth and bring the fullness of the kingdom to the world around us. And that got me quite excited, I have to say. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're working in our lives constantly. Help us to have soft hearts to receive what you're sharing with us and what you're revealing in us, so we can be the revealers of the kingdom to the world around us. In Jesus, I thank you that you said it is finished. You did it all.
Yes.
Your blood paid for everything. And with you, Father God, everything is possible because you're good. You're good, you're good, you're good. And because you dwell within in me, Father God, I'm significant in the world around me. Not through what I can do, not through what I even know necessarily, but because you dwell within me. So, Father God, I pray you continue to build this high pressure deep within each one of us. That just by sitting and resting in the declarations over our life, this will just cause displacement to these low pressures, these things that are come against us, and that we will live in the reality of who you truly are. And I pray all these amazing, magnificent, powerful things for the glory of your name, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, one working in our lives, leading us into all truth. And Father God, thank you for sending your Son to die for us, to bring us into the fullness of the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.